Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it's that time of year again when we get to the end of a theater by the sea season, or so you might think. We have some surprises about that, but in the meantime, Kevin Hill is back from Theater by the Sea, and we're here to talk about the show that's going to open on Wednesday night, Spamalot. Welcome back, Kevin.
Thank you, Mike.
Nice to have you here. Kevin is the artistic.
could be
artistic. You could be narcissistic or you could be artistic,
yes.
But I think you're the artistic director of Theater by the Sea.
Day.
And with him is the director of Spamalot, Billy Sprague. Welcome, Billy.
Thank you very much.
Nice to have you with us. And we're going to find out a little bit about Billy. We already know everything there is to know about Kevin, but
yes.
we should mention that the last show that just finished up yesterday was brilliant.
Well, thank you.
That's the word you told me to use,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did.
Mary Poppins, unbelievable. If you didn't get a chance to see Mary Poppins, it was sensational. A cross between a musical and a fun night and something that was a little bit of almost circus act in there, too.
Yeah, lots of flying, and it was pretty magical.
And good, excellent attendance. I know the nights that I was there, it was packed, sold
yes.
out. And you're having a good year, Kevin.
We are. We are breaking records.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
And so Mary Poppins and Grease, which was huge, and before that, the Rat Pack that was huge. Huge and set records for the first show coming in, and that's part of the little thing I was alluding to earlier. And that there's a surprise. The end of the season was supposed to be Spamalot, which is running previews Wednesday night up through September 7th, and now you've added a little extra.
Yes, we are bringing Sandy Hackett and the Rat Pack show back for 5 shows the week after.
Wow, so that will be coming in. Same show, basically?
Yes,
okay.
Same show, and tickets are on sale right now.
Now, is that same show with his wife? And okay, now,
yes.
So there's a little bit of a difference. If you're like me and you saw the first Rat Pack week, you didn't get to see Sandy Hackett's wife perform, so if there's a reason to go back, if you can catch that, because it's pretty cool. But a great show, the Rat Pack, and well, very, very entertaining. Sandy Hackett himself is just a terrific star in his own right.
He is.
And he makes it all work. So check that out. Go to the website. We'll talk more about that later. But now let's get to Billy Sprague, who is the director of Spamalot. And Billy, is this your first time to Theater by the Sea?
It is my first time, yes.
Well, welcome to you to the beautiful state of Rhode Island, and we hope you enjoy your stay here. And you've been here a couple weeks getting ready, or a week and a half or whatever.
Yeah.
But now it's getting down to the wire. Wednesday night is previews, opening night Friday night. And so I know that's an exciting time, and I appreciate you coming in, taking time out of your busy schedule to be with our audience. But let's find out a little bit about your background. And did you start out as an actor, singer, dancer, bookkeeper? How did you get into the theater business?
Well, really, I started out singing music and playing the piano as a kid growing up in Oklahoma, thanks to my mother. Then I attended the University of Central Oklahoma and got my Bachelor of Music degree there, mm-hmm. and then headed directly to New York right after that.
Wow, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. that's great. Oklahoma is a not the usual hotbed of musical expertise that comes to our country, but I guess in your case, you started with the piano about how old?
I started playing the piano when I was, oh man, I would say, I think 8 or 9 years old. I played the piano for 11 years, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then the singing came during that?
Well, yeah, sort of during that, and in church choir, and then in mm-hmm. the high school choir and show choir, and then, you know, I didn't really think too much about it. I went to college and just made the decision that I was going to study music, and it sort of kept snowballing, and
Now, did that lead you to some kind of community theater, or where did it go from there?
Yeah, in my little tiny farm town of Chandler, Oklahoma, we had a community theater. It's still there, called Lincoln County on Stage, which is actually where I got my first start in theater. The first show I was in was a production of MAME, and I played young Patrick.
I can just picture right now the people in that town all clapping and standing up right now that you mentioned them, all right,
when they hear this. I have to mention it. It's where I got my start. So
there you go. Then on to New York, I presume?
Yeah, I graduated college after 4 years of studying music and theater and dance and all of that. And then, you know, my degree was a performance-based degree. So I think it was my junior year, my folks asked me, you know, where I was going to teach. And then I made the confession that I wasn't going to go teach music or theater anywhere. I was going to go to New York and become an actor. And somehow they managed to stay out of my way and let me
pursue your dream.
Pursue my dream. That's right. So,
well, excellent. We're glad to have you here. We'll find out a little bit more about your background as we go, but I want to get to a piece of music, and I've left the music selection as usual up to you and Kevin, and you came up with this first opening piece, which is what, from Spamalot?
Well, it's this first monk chant into the first production number, Not Yet Dead, and it sort of sets the tone for the medieval times where this story takes place.
This story takes place in medieval times.
It does.
All right, so here we go with the monk chant.
Sacrosanctus Domine, peccavi ignovi. Jesus Christus Domine,
bring out your dead. Here's one.
I'm not dead.
Here, he says he's not dead.
Yes, he is.
I feel happy. I feel happy. I am not dead yet. I can dance and I can sing. I am not dead yet. I can do the Highland Fling. I am not dead yet. No need to go to bed. No need to call the doctor, cause I'm not yet dead.
He is not yet dead. That's what the geezer said. No, he's not yet dead. That is off his head. He is not yet dead. Put him back in bed. Keep him on the cot, because he's not yet dead.
Some things that I should not. I want to be a knight, but I don't like to fight. I'm rather scared I may simply run away.
I'll be right with you, I'll be through and through and through. So stick with me and I'll show you what I do.
We'll remain good chums, who can teach me how to dance.
We're going to enlist, I'm Robin
and I'm Lance.
Coming to, my name will be Sir Fred. I'll be your musician, cause I'm not yet dead.
It gives me such a thrill to sing and dance and keep an eye on lads.
We're going off to war without girlfriends by the score.
We'll be shot by Michael Moore.
Cause we're not yet dead.
Now, Billy, for people that aren't particularly familiar with Spamalot or Monty Python. I mean, I must admit, I'm not a huge Monty Python fan, but I'm very much looking forward to Spamalot. Sounds intriguing. It's strictly a comedy. Is there an underlying story that we should know about, or is it fun?
Well, it is strictly a comedy.
Okay.
It's the Arthurian legend, and it's the whole show is a parody, making fun of Arthur, the Knights of the Round Table, and more specifically, making fun of Broadway musicals.
Broadway musicals that were written about Camelot.
That were written about it really covers a wide range of Broadway musicals.
All right. So are the characters the same? In other words, are we going to see King Arthur and Lancelot and so forth?
Yes, we meet all these characters, and including Guinevere. But yes, we do meet all the knights of the Round Table.
Now, the music itself, there's nothing parodied about the actual Camelot music, right? In other words, we're not going to hear Lusty Month of May or something like that, or will we?
We won't. That's true. We don't. We won't. Okay. We don't hear that.
This is all different music.
It is, yeah.
Okay. So if you're a Camelot fan, you don't have to worry about the music being parodied. They're going to just enjoy this as a completely separate thing.
That's right.
All right. And Kevin, when choosing shows, is Spamalot more on, I don't want to say adult, but a little bit leaning more towards the adult than Mary Poppins, for example?
Yes, Bill tends to pick one show in the summer, and it's usually in the last slot where it's more of an adult theme. Last year we had Lacage, this year it's Spamalot.
Okay, but it's not so adult that teenagers, I mean, it's okay to bring your 14-year-old. We're not going to see any nudity?
No nudity.
Okay, but it's not. It's kind of PG rated.
Correct.
It's not. Don't bring the little kids and expect them to understand what's going on. All right, Billy. In directing something like this, is this more of a choreographic challenge or just everything's equal? Is there a lot of dancing in this?
There are huge production numbers with, you know, big dance numbers. But the interesting thing about this particular show is that it is a comedy. And with this particular comedy, the challenging thing is that even the scenes are the scenes have a rhythm to them, a tempo. And so in many ways, they're almost like pieces of choreography as well. So the actors really have to pay attention and understand where these bits are and the comedic beats and timing within the scene. And those are crucial elements that actually help keep the story going and moving forward.
Keeping things moving along, right. Now, we mentioned earlier in the show Sandy Hackett with Rat Pack, and what a great comedian he is in comedic timing. And some people are comedians, some people are dancers, some people are singers, some people are actors. So I'm presuming here you're dealing mostly with actors that have to get the knack of the comedy versus the other way around.
It's true. But there's not one aspect of the show as far as the casting and the characters go that where they do one particular thing. Everybody has to be able to sing. Everybody has to be able to dance, every single character. Mm-hmm. And everyone, including the male and female ensemble, have to be able to act because it's just chock full of bits, comedic mm-hmm. bits, and one after the next, and everyone plays small parts all throughout the show.
That sounds like my kind of show. I can't wait. I'm getting excited now. All right. Let's get to another piece of music. This is called Come With Me, and what is this about?
Well, it's introducing the Lady of the Lake, and she appears out of a swamp.
Okay. All right. The swamp thing.
Oh, Lady of the Lake, please reveal to this doubting Dennis that you are real. Caw! Blimey!
Come sweet Galahad. You'll be a man, join Arthur's clan. Come with me, and I will make you glad.
Stand aside, Mrs. Galahad, while the Lady of the Lake and her Laker girls welcome your son to my army.
Billy, when I was in college and high school, I did a lot of musicals, and one of my favorites actually was Camelot. And so I'm referring back to my memories of that show as because it was only 5 or 10 years ago in high school. or maybe it was 40 years ago. I don't know, something like that. But I'm kind of remembering, not real fresh in my mind, that there was some sort of not witches, but that kind of thing. Is that a reference to the Lady of the Lake? Is she one of those kind of characters?
You know, when they were workshopping the show in Chicago, there was a number in the show that was referencing that, and it was a later on cut. It is not in the show anymore.
So that's not something we don't have to worry about. This, we don't have to worry about the water all over the stage, right? That's not one of the effects you're using,
right?
Now, I presume that unlike Mary Poppins, Kevin, no one's walking up the walls or flying over the audience in this.
Well, there's a little flying moment.
There is a flying moment.
But we're going to do it very different.
And can we tell people what that is, or is that a secret?
I think it's a secret. I think we should
wait. Okay, so you have to buy a ticket if you want to find out about what flies.
Exactly.
Because, Kevin, flying is an important thing in shows. All right, let's get back to Spamalot, and we get time for one more song before we take our break. And this is a song that goes like this. It's probably the title of it. Nothing to do with supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
Okay, what is this about?
Well, it's pretty much what the title says. In every single, you know, romantic musical theater show, there's a song that goes like this, and this particular song is making fun of Phantom of the Opera and a particular moment in Phantom of the Opera.
All right, we will listen to that, and then we'll be back with more after a brief commercial break about Monty Python's Spamalot with Billy Sprague, the director, and Kevin Hill from Theater by the Sea.
In every show, there comes a song like this. It starts off soft and low and ends up with a kiss. Oh, where is the song that goes like this? Where is it? Where?
A sentimental song that casts a magic spell. They all will hum along. We'll overact like hell. Oh, this is the song that goes like this.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Now we can go straight into the middle eight. A bridge that is too far for me.
I'll sing it in your face while we both embrace.
We change the key.
Now we're into we.
That's awfully high for me.
But everyone can see we should have stayed in D.
For this is our song that goes like this. I'm feeling very proud.
You're singing far too loud.
That's the way that this song goes.
You're standing on my toes,
singing our song that goes like this.
I can't believe there's more.
It's far too long, I'm sure.
That's the trouble with this song. It goes on and on and on.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Theater by the Sea's Kevin Hill and director of Spamalot, Billy Sprague. And we've been listening to some of the songs from the show and talking a little bit about the background of the show. Billy, have you ever done this show before, Spamalot?
I have done many productions of it.
Many productions. That's what qualifies you to be director, probably.
Yeah.
And what parts of the country?
Well, I started out in the Broadway company. Then I left the Broadway company to start the Las Vegas company that opened at the Wynn Hotel.
Wow.
And then I also went out on the road. Then I went back into the Broadway company, then back on the road, and sort of jumped all around to different companies.
So you spend a lot of time with Spamalot.
I have, yes.
Right. Okay. Well, that's interesting. At the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, that's, you know, pretty shabby place to have to be staying.
I know. Right.
Now that you hear it, Theater by the Sea, there's probably almost no comparison.
You know, every time I do this show, it's a new set of circumstances. The one thing about it, about the production here, is I have to say that Bill Haney and Kevin and I we cast such a strong group of people that that's what I'm most excited about. So I know you're making a joke there, but we really have a strong cast, and
that's an important part of it. Theater by the Sea, as most of our listeners know, and a large portion of them have been there, it's a beautiful spot. It's a wonderful place to see a show. It does present its unique problems if you're trying to stage things once in a while. I mean, the stage is relatively small, I'm sure, compared to what you used to at, you know, certainly in Las Vegas or whatever. So that presents some interesting what appear to be problems to some people and then great resolutions to others. I mean, all of a sudden it becomes alive and it's full and it's magical.
That's right.
I think that's a great part of Theater by the Sea. It's always interesting what you can come up with and how Bill and Kevin continue to improve the facility and add things like antique toilet paper holders and you know, things like that. Didn't expect me to say that, did you?
I didn't.
Well, that's a long story, Billy. You have to be here for some of that. But let's get back to Spamalot. And how many major characters are there in the show? Is it basically King Arthur and Guinevere, or is it?
Well, it's King Arthur, Guinevere, Sir Lancelot, Sir Robin, Sir Galahad, and Sir Bedivere. And then there's another actor that plays, they all play multiple parts. Mm-hmm. But those are the basic principal characters.
Okay. Yeah. And a total cast of about, what, 15 people or?
20.
Yeah, 20 people.
20 people. All right. Even harder to fit all those people on the stage. So for the big dance numbers, that must get challenging.
It is challenging, but they're all really good challenges. And what it does is it keeps you from, you know, putting together sort of a cookie cutter version of the show. It's, you know, every theater has its own, like I said earlier, set of circumstances and mm-hmm. elements. And it's really fun to get in there and work with what you have and sort of shift things around and, mm-hmm. and experiment, mm-hmm. play.
All right. So Knights of the Round Table is the next song. Are we going to get to see a round table or is that a secret?
Well, it's a secret.
So those of you listening, you just have to buy a ticket to find out about these secrets. So let's tell us what this song is about then.
Well, it's the biggest production number in the show. It's really a spectacle. It's pretty spectacular in the a lot of showgirl dancing. A lot of the guys are dancing and tumbling and a ton of props. And what this number is really doing is King Arthur has just gathered his knights, and they're about to go on their quest for the Holy Grail. But before they do, they're going to go to Las Vegas and party for a night.
All right, let's give it a listen.
But nights. Not done, not does not laid out on the knights of the round table, round table, round table, round table,
round table, round table, round table, round table.
So try your luck in Camelot. Run your luck in Camelot.
Billy, when you were describing Knights of the Round Table, I'm picturing, as you mentioned, tumbling, and you pictured dance girls, and leads me to a question about costuming. I'm presuming that they're not going to be in zoot suits or anything, be like they might have, you know, been in some other shows, dancing in regular, relatively modern attire. Now, is this correct, that they're going to be in other things?
Oh yeah, they're in chainmail and tabards. They are in their knights costumes. The women do wear showgirl costumes, and even within the number there are several big costume changes. So it's one of those pieces that have all these elements, moving elements, and the props and the different costume changes and different characters. And
wow. So Kevin, yeah. Does this lead you, when you're choosing a show like this, do you say, wait a minute, all the costuming for this, that's gonna add up financially, and think, does that impact you ever in your decision to do a show?
It definitely does, and we worked with Main State Music Theater, who has a separate costume company to their company, and so we rented both Mary Poppins and Spamalot from them, but this costume package is actually the London company's.
Okay.
Costumes. So we have first-rate costumes.
First-rate costumes always at Theater by the Sea, and always at Theater by the Sea is always an orchestra playing in the orchestra pit, right?
Yes, there are. So. We have seven, I think, in this for Spamalot. We have seven.
So live musicians, as they say, versus dead musicians.
Exactly.
But there they are playing Spamalot. You could have a few dead musicians, probably. It would fit the show.
Might work.
But let's get to this next one before we take a break, and it's called Find Your Grail, and I presume Holy Grail.
That's right.
All right. Anything we need to know or just want to listen?
I think we can just listen. It's got a great message to it, and this is where the heart of the show really lies.
All right. We'll listen to Find Your Grail, take a short break, and be back with more.
Keep your eyes on the goal.
when your life seems to drift, when we all need a lift, trim your sail, you won't fail. Find your grail, find your grail. Life is really up to you, you must choose what to pursue. Set your mind on what to find.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Theater by the Sea's Kevin Hill and director of Spamalot, Billy Sprague. And we've been listening to music from the show and talking about some of the behind-the-scenes things. And speaking about behind-the-scenes events, a couple of years ago I had the privilege of being the book voice in the production at Theater by the Sea of How to Succeed in Business. And I had a great time doing that. And Kevin, I got to say, I'm a little disappointed. there is a voice of God in this
there
show,
is.
And my phone didn't ring. How could you find someone more famous than me to be playing the voice
I
of
know.
God?
Well, you're the understudy.
Okay.
And but Bill really wanted this one Rhode Island voice, and he just wanted to get this person, and we got Mr. Buddy Cianci.
No.
To play the voice of God, yes.
Buddy Cianci is going to be the voice of God.
Yes.
How appropriate.
Exactly.
you probably couldn't find, Billy, you probably don't know what we're talking about, but Buddy Cianci is certainly one of the most well-known characters. How's
yes.
that? Not showing not showing an influence one way or the other about how I feel about him in the state of Rhode Island. He's a great guy. I've known him for many years, and he happens to be running for political office, which we won't mention.
No.
But,
even though we just did.
Even though we did. We didn't say which political office. I mean, not that he would run for mayor of Providence or anything like
right,
that.
Right, no.
All right. But at any rate, that's great that you have him. It's and that's going to be really something. I look forward to hearing that. Voice of God, Buddy Cianci. All right. And he's not going to be there every night. This is a recorded voice of
correct.
God.
Okay. We will record his voice and play it every night. And I'm hoping that he comes and be our guest at opening night.
All right. Well, I'll certainly be there, and we can compare notes. It'll be a great time. Any other surprises like that, Kevin, that we should know about? You know, that's a pretty big deal. You know,
that is a big deal for us.
Buddy Cianci there.
No, I don't.
Okay, well, let's talk briefly about the sets, because Theater by the Sea is known for always spectacular scenery and sets, and no exception here, I'm sure, right, Billy?
That's right. There's, you know, the show starts with a particular number that I won't give away, but I'll just say it has nothing to do with medieval times or that setting that you would think that the story actually takes place in. But there's a lot of different set pieces and moving pieces and turning pieces and, you know, these practical pieces that are flying in and moving on and off stage with actors at different levels. And it's pretty interesting to look at.
Always is at Theater by the Sea, because you have, as we mentioned, some of those built-in problems. It's not the largest stage in the world, but it always seems to capture your imagination with all these things that happen. Looking forward to that. And I guess if you had to pick a song that was one of the more famous of the show, it would be this next one. And it's one that I've heard, and I'm not real familiar with the show, but it's called Always Look on the Bright Side, right?
That's right.
And what is this about? How does this take place in the show?
Well, it's the opening of Act Two, and Arthur has been met with several challenges and realizes that finding the Holy Grail is going to be much more difficult than he thought it was going to be, and he becomes very depressed. And in this moment, his sidekick Patsy sits him down and tries to cheer him up, and that's what this particular song is about. And it's also a spectacular tap dance.
Okay, and we also should probably mention that Patsy is going to be played by Brad Bradley, who was just on stage with Mary Poppins, right, Kevin?
Yes, he was.
And so that's great. He gets to stay in town a little longer and play in Spamalot. Mary Poppins, Spamalot.
Exactly.
Almost the same show.
Exactly.
All right, let's listen to this.
This is a total bloody disaster. All my knights have fled, and we're lost in a dark and very expensive forest.
Well, it could be worse.
Well, how could it possibly be worse?
Oh, cheer up, sire. You know what they say.
What do they say, Patsy?
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
You give it a try.
If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life. Well, life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your sin, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
Always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true.
You'll see it's all a show. Keep on laughing as you go.
Just remember that the last laugh is on you.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Excuse me, is that a shrubbery?
Oh, yes, I'm throwing it out. The cat won't leave it alone.
Well, what a stroke of luck. I'll take it off your hands. Pay the lady, Patsy.
Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on.
Side of life.
Kevin, one of the things we do several times usually during the show, but we didn't this time because you've been here so often that you're kind of like my partner in crime now. We normally give out the website and the phone number and so forth frequently, but we've been kind of captured in the story of Spamalot. So let's make sure everybody knows how to get tickets. They can go to the website, correct?
Yes, the website is theaterbythesea.com, or they could call Vinny at the box office at 401-782-TKTS or 401-782-8587.
And get your tickets early because Theater by the Sea is shattering all kinds of records this year, selling out certain performances, and so call Vinny. And if you do that and mention Kevin's name, nothing will happen. But the show opens Wednesday night for previews, Thursday for previews, and Friday is the official opening night and runs through September 7th.
Correct.
So call soon, get your tickets. Kevin, thanks for being here. As usual, great to see you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
And Billy, thank you for coming in and giving us a lot of background on Spamalot. I can't wait to see it. It sounds like it's going to be very exciting.
Thank you. Yep.
Oh, all right, thanks for being here, and I'm going to ask you to do one last thing, and that's introduce this last song, which is the big finale, right?
It is. It's the finale of the show, and it's another huge production number. It's every single cast member, and with another different set of elements thrown in, and it's the finale. It's the spectacular end to Spamalot.
It's the biggie, all right, so don't miss it. Don't leave early. Don't leave during. Is there an intermission? I presume there is, yes.
Yes, there is.
So you certainly don't want to, you know.
No, it only gets better.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Billy, for being here. Best of luck, and enjoy your stay in Rhode Island.
Thank you.
And for the rest of you, we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations.
Lady, will you marry me?
I thought you'd never ask.
It's all a show, happy ending and all, and that just makes me want to sing. When you're lost on life's trail and you feel doomed to fail, do not fail, find your mail. Find your mail, that's your grail.
Just think, Herbert, in a thousand years' time, this will still be controversial.
And I, too, have found my grail.
What's that?
Musical theater!
You can sing, you can dance, and you won't soil your pants. In your white tie and tail, find your grail, find your grail.
Hallelujah, a Broadway wedding!
So be strong, keep that on.
Set your mind on what you find, and there's nothing you
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.